Hey everybody, this is Rachel Ellering coming at you. For all your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net. Talk to you soon.
It is Wednesday, June the 1st, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net, and today I have a very special guest. She is the daughter of WWE Hall of Famer Paul Ellering, the manager of the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. She trained under former WCW, WWE, and ECW star Lance Storm, and she recently made her debut with the all-women's promotion Shine. Today, she's our special guest here on the Gerwick.net website and our YouTube channel, which you can find at Gerwick.net on YouTube. Today, I welcome Rachel Ellering. How are you doing today, Rachel?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And talk about a little bit growing up in wrestling. Deep down, you always wanted to do this. So how does it feel maybe now be living your dream of becoming a professional wrestler?
Yeah, well, one, growing up in the business, it was a little different than most people, most generational wrestlers. My dad didn't really surround us with it too much. And so I discovered it when I was 16. And when I say discover, I mean fell in love. And so ever since I was 16, this is all I've thought about, wanted to do. It's all I watch. It's all I talk about. And so to be doing it now is, I mean, I just get goosebumps talking about it. It's the greatest thing in the entire world. I'm truly living my dream every single day. And I'm so fortunate for that. I've had a lot of really great opportunities in such a short time. And most importantly, I've met just amazing, amazing people on this journey so far, and it's just getting started, so it's been incredible.
You grew up in Minnesota, recently finished college, and then you moved to, Calgary to train with Lance Storm. How did you get affiliated with Lance Storm up in Calgary?
Yeah, I am from Minnesota. I'm a straight out of mini girl, and so I grew up in Minnesota. Yes, like you said, I graduated in May with my bachelor's degree. And then in September, I moved up to Calgary to train with Lance. And I lived up there for 6 months and right before coming down here to Orlando. And Lance has a reputation for being the best trainer in the world. And for me, I really loved that you're in there five days a week. And, it's not just one or two for an hour here and there. You know, it's 3 hours, 5 days a week. Plus, he and I would do a little extra. And he is just a pure genius. He knows all aspects of the business. He's like like you listed, he's worked for all the major companies and was extremely successful. And so I always have a goal of being the best at whatever I do, whether, that was high school sports, powerlifting, graduating college with national honors, and then wrestling. And so I wanted to be trained by the best and someone who is reputable. And I came to find out very, very quickly that Lance is not only the best trainer in the world, he absolutely is, but he is genuinely one of the greatest human beings in the entire world. And so I'm so grateful that I chose to go up there.
And of course, he's also trained, Emma? That's on WWE television. So he's already has a current crop of girls that are developing, and he is a great trainer. I think he has the reputation of being a great trainer. Was it a tough decision? I mean, as far as schooling, did you look at other wrestling schools? Did you talk to a lot of people? And how did you ultimately decide on Lance's school?
Yeah, like you mentioned, he did train Emma, and Peyton Royce, who is in NXT, was also trained by Lance. Biff Busick, who's in NXT, Tyler Breeze, the list is a mile long. He's produced some pretty incredible people. Taya Valkyrie, who's on Lucha Underground right now. And so, yeah, to join, someone who's trained people like that is absolutely amazing. And his work is proven. For me, it wasn't a tough decision. A lot of people, I'm from a really small town, and when I was 18, I moved away. And so I've always wanted to travel and, move to bigger, always be moving to bigger and better things. And, if it needed me to go to Calgary for that to happen, then take me there. I'm willing to go wherever for it. So it was a very easy move. Weather is basically the same as mini. So no adjustment there. And I fell in love with Calgary. I consider Calgary my second home. Now, I miss it dearly. I miss the people. But, yeah, it was a phenomenal time for me, and a very easy decision to go get trained by Lance.
Thus far, any injuries, any bumps or bruises along the way?
You know, knock on every piece of wood in sight. No, I have not had any injuries thus far. Just, you know, minor dings here and there. I got my nose broken in a match, like my fourth or fifth match. And then Chelsea Green from Tough Enough is one of my absolute best friends now. She came in maybe 3 weeks into training so I could work with a girl because I was the only girl in my class. And we were doing the very first drill of the very first day she was there. And she gave me a swift knee to the face and it knocked me out. First time I've ever been knocked out, and gave me just a beautiful shiner. And so other than that, I haven't had anything, but I always joke that her knocking me out and kneeing me in the face made us become best friends. And so it really worked out in the long run.
Yeah, we talked to Chelsea last year. She's, as you said, went through the Tough Enough show, and I think she went to Japan as well. So
yeah,
she's getting around.
Oh, yeah. She is. I'm so happy for her. I love when good things happen to good people, and Chelsea is genuinely such a great person in and out. And so she deserves all the success in the world. She's been busting her butt, and good things are coming her way. So I'm excited. I actually get to see her next week. So our excitement is off the charts to be reunited.
Talk a little bit about powerlifting. How did you get involved in that, and what's like the maximum weight you've ever lifted?
Yeah, absolutely. My powerlifting experience was phenomenal. I competed for 2 years while I was at university, and so not through my college because they didn't have that as a sport, so I did it on my own. But I initially got started in it to get my mom off my back, which sounds really bad, but I love my mom dearly. She's my best friend. She's the greatest. Shout out to my mom. But I did not really want to do powerlifting, and so I decided I'd meet with a coach one time. I'd give it one shot, and then, you know, she couldn't say I didn't try, so then I could move on from it. And that first try was, I kind of fell in love with it and enjoyed it so, so much. My first deadlift, I knew I was going to be hooked. It was just so, so great. And the thing I loved about powerlifting was you never reach a point where you can't set a bigger and better goal. You never reach a point where you say, well, you can't put any more weight on the bar. Bummer. You're done. There, you can always get better. You can always lift more. And so I was very fortunate to be a part of Team USA in 2014. And that is truly forever will be one of the highlights of my life, is representing our country at the World Championships. And so I'm very, very blessed. I've had so many cool things happen in my life already. Won the bronze medal, so that was the peak for me. That was actually my last powerlifting meet as well, so a pretty good way to go out. And yeah, max lifts, I mean, my best deadlift was 360, best squat was 350, best bench, you got to have a pause on your chest, so I don't know what my touch and go would be, but I think around 175 was my best 3 second pause on the chest bench.
You must impress the guys down at the gym. I mean, you're obviously a pretty girl, and you go in there and you can do all this lifting, so you must turn a lot of heads in the gym.
I seem to also, if anybody follows me on Twitter, I seem to also attract some interesting people in the gym. I got challenged a couple weeks ago to a guy was just really thinking he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he didn't think that a girl could bench with, as he called them, the big boy plates on the bar, which is the 45s. And so I'm so competitive. And I also took great offense to that. And so I got to rep it out for him, and he got to kind of eat his words a little bit. So, but yeah, I'm such a gym rat. I spend so much time there. I'm there at least 3-4 hours a day because I just love it that much. And so I love the atmosphere. I've met a lot of great people in the gym everywhere I've lived. In Calgary, the gym, I mean, I had a going away party with people just from the gym. And so I became very close to all of them. But I love it. I love it. It's an addiction for sure. The best addiction.
Did you have a very athletic background? Did you play a lot of sports in high school?
Yeah, I was a three-sport athlete in high school. I played volleyball, basketball, softball, and was very successful at those, basketball in particular. And then I also, growing up, played football, where I was the only girl on the team, and I loved football. And so played football.
Football?
Yeah, football.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What position?
I was a running back.
Running back. So you took a lot of pounding then out there.
Oh, absolutely. You think I can't dish it back? Come on now.
Well, around here, if a girl's on the team, she's usually like a kicker or a punter. So.
Oh, no, no. I was a running back. Yeah. Every now and then I'd play safety as well. So, but I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, played soccer growing up and all sorts of sports. Grew up on a lake, so I was always swimming. And, yeah, but in high school, three-sport athlete. Then college, I did powerlifting for a while and now wrestling.
You talked about, age 16, you fell in love with wrestling. What was it about wrestling? Obviously, your dad's a very famous wrestling personality, manager, one of the greatest managers of all time. But at 16, that's only, 5 or 6 years ago, what was it about wrestling that drew you to it? And who were some of the superstars or divas that really drew you to the sport?
Yeah, it was actually 7 years ago. I'm not that young. Come on now. For me, what made me fall in love with it was stumbling upon Trish versus Lita, main event of Raw, December 6th, 2004, Charlotte, North Carolina. As you can tell, it's one of my favorite matches. Watching those women absolutely captured me. And just seeing how athletic they are. And in particular, Lita, I looked at her and I was like, she's not what you would expect when you hear, you know, the term diva, or, you know, you look at the sports entertainment type side of it. And she was just so unconventional. And, you know, she had the tattoo. And so that really grabbed me. And so that initially is what really got me. And then, you know, as you delve in, I just fell in love with everything. I realized it's everything I'm good at. It's everything I love. And so I quickly realized that that is absolutely what I'm meant to do. And, you know, then when you discover people like, you know, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, and then you watch Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero go at it in ECW, it's how can you not love it, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm here today. So, exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I always say I do it now. I am a wrestler now, but first and foremost, like, I'm a wrestling fan. I love wrestling and watching it and being around it. If there's a show in town and I don't have anything that night, I'll go watch just because I love wrestling. I love it. So how can you not?
I'm a little older than you, watching those old Crockett shows back in the day. Your dad was there with the Road Warriors,
yeah,
and Rock and Roll Express and Magnum TA and
so
Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard and all those great Arn Anderson back in the day. So
yeah, absolutely. Those are the best. Everybody you just named is Hall of Fame material.
Absolutely, a Four Horsemen, and yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And in fact, as I understood it, the last show, you actually ran into one of those names, Tully Blanchard's daughter, Tessa.
Yeah. My first Shine pay-per-view I was on, I got to work Tessa. And so that was, it was such a treat. I've obviously seen some of her stuff and had heard a lot about her. And so it was such a privilege to be in there with her. And I'm not to spoil it for anybody, but she's become one of my really good friends as well. And so that was just such a fun night. I look back on it and it just makes me smile. And then the 17th of this month, there's another Shine show as well. So maybe I'll get my rematch. Maybe I can beat her this time since she had a little help. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, it seems like you guys would just have so many stories to tell. I mean, her dad was in the same promotions, and you guys, I mean, your fathers both travel a lot of the same route.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Tessa's very knowledgeable about, you know, all aspects of the business. And, you know, she respects where, you know, she respects the past just like I do. Anybody who has done this before me, they're the reason I can do it. And so I have such a great respect for anybody who stepped in the ring, you know, in the past. And she's very much the same way. And she also, we have kind of the same sense of humor, and we enjoy the same things. And so that helps a lot. And anybody that, you know, she'll let me beat her up a little bit, I'll let her beat me up a little bit. That's friendship right there. So it works out.
You know, in reference to Trish, you mentioned diva, and of course that's been, I guess, the term we've used to categorize women wrestlers for quite a while now with WWE. We're really going back to the Attitude Era. And I was thinking, you know, bra and panties matches they'd have and the Playboy pillow fights, etc. And it seems like you're coming in at the right time because they've kind of phasing out divas. They're really going back to, you know, women's wrestlers or ladies wrestlers as it used to be back in the day with, you know, Fabulous Moolah and so many of the great female wrestlers. So it seems like maybe you're coming in at the right time because obviously you have the athletic ability, you have the athletic look, and the timing might be just perfect for you to blossom in this industry.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think this kind of sums it up for me. So at WrestleMania this year, when Lita came out and presented the new belt, and then also her saying that they've changed the term from diva to now they just call them superstars. I got emotional about that. No shame, because that's such a big deal for women wrestlers. I think that it just validates that they too are, they're superstars and they can have matches that can, you know, steal the show, and they're phenomenal athletes. They're, you know, completely well-rounded performers. And so, you know, you can't tell me Sasha, Becky, Bailey, Charlotte, all those girls, Natty, you know, they could easily steal a show. You give them 15 minutes and let them run with it, it's going to be phenomenal. And so that was such a big deal for me. And I know it was a big deal for a lot of other women wrestlers that I chat with. And so for the term to now be superstars, that new belt is beautiful. It is the perfect time to be coming in. And, you know, when we're looked at as athletes and wrestlers and not just as eye candy. Because if it was just eye candy, like, I wouldn't get very far in this business. So thank goodness.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
I think you've got the look, but you also got that athletic ability, and I think that's exactly what they're looking for. As you said, Sasha and Bailey and some of the, you know, Becky Lynch, some of the girls that can actually tear it up in the ring now. So you're coming in at the right time. Obviously, you have the training with Lance Storm. It seems like one plus one is two. It seems like you're coming in at the right ideal time, and hopefully, I know you're, what, in Orlando? And actually had a couple of opportunities there with NXT, correct? You've worked a couple of matches there?
I had the one match that aired a couple weeks ago against Alexa Bliss. And right. So that was incredible. So that's on the WWE Network if people want to check that out. And yeah, I mean, I'll be at the tapings next week as well. So crossing my fingers that, you know, maybe I get to work another match. But either way, it's phenomenal to be there and learn from everybody. And just, you know, like I said, I love being around wrestling. And so any chance I get to do that, any chance I get to learn about it, that makes me so happy.
You're on the network.
Yes, I am on the WWE Network, $9.99 a month. I can plug it.
Because I was just listening to, again, another interview you were doing, and you were saying how much a big fan you are of the network and old school stuff on there, the old Crockett shows, the NWA shows, the WCW shows, and I think what you were saying, you just would just pick a year and just start watching all the matches from that year.
I live on the network. This is all I watch, wrestling and sports. And so I sleep with SportsCenter on, and then I watch wrestling, you know, the other hours of the day. But I'll just get on a kick. And a couple months ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch every pay-per-view from 2002. And then that's what I do. And I, you know, get on an ECW kick where I'll just watch all of those and just whatever I'm kind of feeling, I'll run with. But yeah, I love watching the old school stuff, if you want to call it that. I enjoy that so, so much. And so any chance I get to sit down and study and just enjoy it, that is truly my happy time.
Yeah, I'm hoping they do add more of those, as I said before, those Crockett shows, the old World Championship Wrestling, the 605 shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're always adding stuff, so hopefully that's next.
You know, Jimmy Garvin and Ronnie Garvin and Precious and all those shows. So as I said, you can't add everything up front, but maybe in the future we'll see some of that stuff. And obviously, remember, so many matches I can remember of the Road Warriors just coming out, and within like 3 seconds the match would be over. Doomsday device.
That sounds familiar. Yep.
And then there would be Hawk and Animal talking to Tony Schiavone or David Crockett about whatever it was coming up, and then there'd be your dad to finish off the promo. So Yeah, that's great stuff.
Yeah, some of my favorite things to watch are their old promos. They just make me laugh so hard. I was tweeting back and forth with somebody the other day, and they were like, Hawk was such an underrated promo. And I just responded back because I'm always sarcastic. And I was like, anybody who can snap a neck collar off just by flexing their neck, like, that's a golden promo. And so that's forever one of my favorite Hawk moments.
You know, I had the opportunity to talk to both Road Warriors, you know, obviously Hawk before he passed away, and I don't think people really realize that your dad was not just the television manager. He was the shoot manager,
yeah.
Something you don't see anymore. I mean, he took care of the travel and the expenses and everything, and that's, I mean, you just don't see that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody does that now. He might have been one of the last, but yeah, he was on both sides of the curtain, their manager.
You're watching some of these old shows, and certainly your dad is one of the most popular, famous managers. I mean, what's your opinion? Is it time maybe to see some of these managers return? I think that's one of the things I really miss about watching the old school stuff was, you know, the great managers, the Jim Cornettes, the Bobby the Brain Heenans, the Jimmy Harts, etc., and your dad, obviously, and we don't see that anymore.
Yeah, I think there's a time and a place for it, even now. You know, some people... communicating to the audience, that's not their strong, you know, with words, that's not their strong point. And to elevate a talent, I think every now and then that would be the fix for it. I can also see why, you know, it's great to be a well-rounded performer where you can do everything. And so I can see both sides to it. But yeah, definitely situational. I know there are people who would greatly benefit from managers, even a couple, you know, shows that I've worked in Canada or Florida. When you watch a manager who really just clicks with whoever they're working with, it adds something to it, you know, and it adds something to that talent and can bring them to the next level. So, you know, everybody has that thing that gets them to that next level. And for some people, you know, they need a mouthpiece. And I think for the Road Warriors, I think that was very crucial to their success. I know I'm biased, but yeah. So
you're allowed to be.
Right. Yeah, I'm allowed to be. Exactly.
And obviously you're certainly early in your career. You just, you know, finished training and you're obviously still training to get better. Early on, what do you consider your biggest strength and what do you consider your biggest weakness? What's the one thing you really need to improve on as well?
Yeah, I am early in my career. I hope to be doing this for a long time. And so I'm about 6 months into doing shows right now. So I'm a newbie, but, my biggest strength, I like you mentioned, I've always been an athlete. I'm very athletic. And so there's, you know, I can work a lot of different styles. I bring a lot to the table in that sense. I also am just very good with connecting with crowds. That's always been something that I've been successful with. I was a communication studies major in college. That's what my bachelor's is in. And so connecting with people and, you know, whether that be through, you know, athletics, because I get pretty fired up and people can enjoy that, or if it's through, you know, a promo and words, I've always been successful at that. So those are definitely my strong point. Something I need to work on. It's such a girl thing. It's really cheesy. I need to get better at photo shoots because heaven help me, that is not my forte. And I have no idea what I'm doing when I do them. And so I'm very grateful for Pam, who does the photo shoots at Shine, because she just tells me what to do. And I need that. So that's the aspect I think I need to get better at. But, you know, I always think I need to get better at everything. I've never watched one of my matches back and have not killed it. I always find a million things that I wish I would have changed or done differently. Or, you know, when you see it back, you think of something that would have fit better. And so I want to get better in every aspect. And I hope that's my mindset for my entire career. You know, you never learn enough about wrestling and there's always stuff to get better at. And so for me, everything. I need to get better at everything. But I also know, you know, I am fairly athletic and I have my strong points and hopefully I can just, you know, improve those as well.
You know, just critique yourself?
I try to watch back all my matches, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and I try to watch them back you know, the night of or the day after, just to see how it went and, you know, hear the reactions a little bit better. But yeah, I hate watching my stuff back, but I also enjoy it because I learned so much from that. You know, we're always our own worst critic, and I've always been that way. And so, when I was living in Canada, I would watch my matches back with Lance, and that was one of the greatest things because I could hear his instant feedback on it and then also tell him, you know, like, hey, what if I did this? Would this fit? Ask a million and a half questions. And so I miss doing that, but the last Shine pay-per-view, he and his daughter, Becca, who I'm very good friends with, they bought it and watched it. And so it was great because I could still get his feedback and they could see me work. And yeah, I've watched, what was it? The other day, I think I watched my third match, and I can say with pride, I have improved a lot. So that's always fun to go back and see everything that you've learned. But you know, that doesn't come without working with really amazing people and just, you know, surrounding yourself with great workers as well. So I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've had.
Yeah, I would say that communication background might really help you in this industry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I did a ton of public speaking at university, which I enjoy thoroughly. I love it. And so lots of marketing stuff, and that all correlates really well.
When and where did you make your debut, and who did you face?
My debut, I always joke, will forever be my favorite match because it was in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and it was a mixed tag team match, and my tag partner was Lance Storm, and
wow.
So it'll forever be so near and dear to my heart because I got to team with Lance, who is just everything to me, and we faced Giselle Shaw and her boyfriend, her dude, Brett Morgan. And so the funny thing with that is Giselle is one of my best friends in real life. And then obviously Brett, her boyfriend, is phenomenal, and I know him very well. So could not have been a better first night. It was just so, so special to me. My mom and my sister flew in to surprise me at the show. And so that just was the cherry on top. But it was a dream come true. You know, I've been waiting for that moment since I was, you know, a 16-year-old kid. And so for it to actually happen and be so, so great, I was just the happiest person on earth that night. November 28th.
So all those people on Wikipedia out there, you can add the exact date and the exact opponent. And it's always got to be Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
They all go together, right?
I do the dramatic pause after Calgary because my brain does it automatically.
When you're up in Calgary, did you see the Heart Dungeon then?
Yeah, I actually, one of my first weeks there, I went to see the Heart House, and you can't go in or anything like that, but I got my picture in front of it, and there, you know, there's really cool like brick pillars that say Heart House on it. And so that was for me, because Bret Hart and Owen Hart, they're some of my favorites. That was such a special moment for me to just see somewhere that's so legendary. You know, when you hear of all the people who have been trained in the dungeon, and I'm close with Natty. She's been such an amazing resource for me. And so that was just, it was so cool to be there and be around something so legendary.
I wondered, you know, with your training, you said, 6 months of training with Lance. How much of it was physical, and how much is it? Because today, obviously, wrestling has changed so much. It's a lot more, along with the communications there, talking, getting verbal skills, making contact with the camera and the fans. How much of the training really incorporated just cutting promos?
Yeah, well, Lance's training course is 3 months, and so I did that, and then I stayed up there another 3 on my own to work shows. I got booked every single weekend, and so I was traveling all over Canada doing shows, and so that's why I was there the additional 3. But in those additional 3, I still during the week would work with Lance, so that was like the best part. I would say 90%-ish is in ring, you know, because in 3 months he's taking you from square one, your first bump, to having matches. And so, you know, those last couple weeks of camp, you're having matches with all the other guys in your class. Everybody gets to have a match with Lance. And so he takes you from square one to the finish line. But we also have promo days where we do a promo. We had three or four of them. And I think one of the most valuable things about going to learn from Lance is that he teaches psychology. And so if we're learning, you know, if we're learning a move and somebody has a question, he can, you know, explain it, tell a story, explain how and why to do this. You know, when's the best place? Why would you put it in that place in a match? And so that's so valuable because I've met a lot of people who don't have they don't understand ring psychology, but he teaches that along with the in-ring stuff. And so the whole thing is just amazing. Lance is the absolute best. Anybody who wants to be a wrestler, I mean, SWA is the place to go. It's worth every mile. It's worth every penny. He, you know, I had never taken a bump, never been in a ring before I went up there. And, you know, a couple weeks ago I had an NXT match, and that's all because of Lance. I will owe my entire career to him because he's taught me everything I know, and he had the patience to teach me everything I know. So he's the most patient man alive.
Now, obviously you're in Florida. That's of course the home of NXT, the Performance Center down there. Had a match in the ring with NXT. Have they told you anything, gave you encouragement, anything maybe possible in the future, maybe as far as a developmental deal?
I got a lot of positive feedback from my match with Alexa. And it was just a really great atmosphere backstage at NXT. I was very, very happy to be there. In regards to a developmental deal, if they want me, I'm ready. That's obviously my dream. I'd be ecstatic and through the roof. But until then, I get to just kind of keep taking over, doing what I'm doing and trying to work anybody and everybody all over the place. This summer, I have a couple trips planned across the country. And so I'm very excited to work with some really great girls. And we'll see. You never know. You never know. I mean, that's my dream. Hopefully one day it happens. But, you know, until then, I'm just going to keep working as hard as I can to get better.
You know, your dad obviously being the legendary wrestler, does it feel like there's pressure on you? Obviously, the Ellering name to continue on in the next generation. Do you feel maybe more pressure on you because your father is somebody that's legendary in the business?
No, I don't feel any pressure in regards to that at all. That was such a different time, and my dad is known for being a manager. You know, and for me, I'm an in-ring performer right now, and so, you know, there's only so many comparisons that can be made. I'm a chick anyway, so it's a completely different avenue. No pressure at all. If I feel any pressure, it's always just me being hard on myself, and that's nothing new. I'm like the most competitive person on the planet, and so I've always been that way with anything. And so, yeah, I feel no pressure in regards to being generational, none at all.
Would probably be different if you were a male, trying to continue on with the Ellery name as a male child. But, I mean, at the end of the day, still, he's still a Hall of Famer. So if you walk around with the name Ellery, people are going to say, oh, there's the daughter of Paul Ellery. It is a different time, but I'm sure at the end of the day, he is a Hall of Famer. So that's great, though, that you don't feel the pressure.
Yeah, and I take a lot of pride in, I'm trying to forge my own path in the business. I always will just introduce myself as Rachel first, just because I like people to get to know me before they, can put two and two together. So it's very, very important for me to forge my own path and earn every opportunity that, is put in front of me, and earn that through my abilities, and who I am as a person. And so I take a lot of pride in, making sure that I bring, it's what I bring to the table. It's your last name can't bump for you. Your last name can't cut a promo. Your last name doesn't do anything, right? And so I take a lot of pride in working as hard as I can and loving this with everything, every ounce of me, and, forging my own path with that.
One more question about your dad. How's he doing today? And is he staying busy?
Yeah, he's good. He's good. I suppose busy. He does signings every now and then, and owns a bar and restaurant up in Minnesota. So he's good.
Good. How did you decide on ring gear?
Oh, that was tough. I uh, that was, that took me a while to kind of narrow down the look that I wanted. I knew I wanted at least one set with pants because so many girls wear shorts, and so pants are a little different. Where, you know, getting wrestling boots instead of kick pads and shoes was a no-brainer for me. I have always dreamed of having my own pair of wrestling boots, and so that was the very first thing I got. The color combos, I've kind of got like a Minnesota Vikings tribute going with my purple, gold, and black, which I didn't even consciously decide. And then the other, I kind of had this combo of picking all sorts of stuff I liked that other girls had, and then just kind of creating my own spin on it. I have like this Wonder Woman spin on it. So it's unique. I love it. I love my gear. I'm working on getting some more made, so we'll see how that turns out. It's half the fun, you know, putting your costume on per se.
Obviously with marketing yourself, gear is one thing, and then obviously would be your style in the ring, the influences, and somebody that's never seen you wrestle, how would you describe yourself as a wrestler, an in-ring performer?
Yeah, I always say I don't wrestle just one style because you work so many different people, so you never know what's needed. But I'm extremely athletic, and so, you know, I can move very quickly. I'm fairly good at mat wrestling. I was trained by Lance Storm, people, so, you know, that comes with it. But I can bust out some stuff off the top rope. I, you know, have been learning a little bit of lucha since I moved down here to Orlando. I've got a heck of a punch, so in that sense I can do the hard-hitting style, but kind of a combo of a little bit of everything. I draw from so many different motivations. You know, I love, like I said, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, that, you know, that type of mat stuff. I can only dream to be that good one day. But then, you know, Rey Mysterio and Lita, a little bit of high flying stuff. And, you know, so I kind of try to combine everything into one package, and I just consider it just a very athletic style is really how I would describe it.
Who would be some of your dream opponents? Who are some of the people that you look forward to a future lockup with?
Oh, that's tough. I would say one for sure would be Natty. She was one of the very first people I told that I wanted to be a wrestler. And she, ever since then, has been an amazing resource for me and has become, you know, a really good friend. And so I would love, 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 love to be in the ring with her. Lita's the reason I fell in love with wrestling. So that would, I'd probably cry the whole time if I was in there with Lita. So she would be one. One of my newest favorites is Manami Toyota, a Japanese wrestler. And so I would pick her. Oh, gosh, it's so tough. And then if I could resurrect somebody and it be a dude, Mr. Perfect.
Oh, wow.
So there's a unique list. I could list a million more, but those are just a couple.
Yeah, he was great, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig back in the day. Wow.
So great. And a Minnesota dude.
Yeah.
So.
That's right, yeah. And Rick Rude as well.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is so funny you say that. I know nobody can see me right now, but I am wearing a Rick Rude T-shirt.
Wow.
That is
cool.
So phenomenal. Yeah, I've got the Simply Ravishing T-shirt on right now.
Next time we're going to have to do a video interview with you for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, oh, that is too funny. This is good. We're on the same wavelength then, right?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of great athletes from Minnesota, so you'd be following suit there.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I've got big shoes to fill in that sense, right?
Maybe bigger than your dad's shoes.
Ooh,
then.
The list that has come out of Minnie is quite long.
Now, as I said before, obviously you're early in your career, but you know, if you were booking yourself, what do you think you're more natural to be, a baby face or a heel?
Right now, I have only worked as a baby face, and so that I'm very comfortable in that role. But Lance Storm would tell you this, I'm a natural heel, and I think it's that competitiveness that comes out of me. And so in training, especially since I was the only girl, I would always dish out, you know, little sarcastic, smart-ass comments to the guys all the time, and that's just how I roll. And he would always say, oh, there she is, natural heel. And it made me laugh every time because I for sure was thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to be a heel. And then when I found out I was debuting as a babyface, I got a little nervous. But I can do both. I'm very, very, very excited at the thought of turning, though, so I'll see when that gets to happen, but for now, I can be nice. Minnesota nice, right? Minnesota nice.
You talked about, you know, being a gym rat. What's a normal day for you like? What do you eat? How do you train? And how do you just stay in great shape?
Yeah, I am a total gym rat. Normal day in the gym, I focus on a body part a day. And so, you know, yesterday, for example, was leg day, my favorite. And so I get there, do a half hour warm up cardio, and then I go to town and I'll lift hour and a half-ish is what I lifted yesterday. Lots of squats, you know, then break it up, do hammies for a while, then do quads. Focus on hip strength as well, flexibility, plyometrics, I throw that in. And then I'll end with some cardio. And then when I have a lot of time in my day, then I'll sit in the sauna, then I'll do some more cardio or go do anything that sounds fun. But that's my second happy place besides being in the ring. I some days will just, what am I feeling? What do I want to do now? And I'll just make stuff up as I go. And that's enjoyment for me. But eating nutrition-wise, I try to keep it fairly clean, but I am human, and so every now and then I need, you know, some red velvet Oreos in my life. But lots of chicken, egg whites, Greek yogurt is like my go-to snack. Cooked carrots has been my obsession lately, so there's a weird little bit of information. And then my trick, I put hot sauce on everything, and I am a hot sauce fanatic, and so that is my go-to to make any meal better is hot sauce.
Hey, I can relate to that. I'm a big hot sauce person too. Is there a particular hot sauce or salsa that you're really into tastes really good to you?
Two favorites are sriracha and Tabasco. But honestly, I don't think I've ever. The ghost pepper salsa I had killed me. It was so hot. But yeah, I have never really had any bad hot sauces. As long as I can spice up my food, I'm a happy camper. So in that sense, yeah, I'm a hot sauce buff. But usually sriracha and Tabasco are my go-to.
There's one in the Midwest. I don't know if you had it in Minnesota. It was called Screamin' Hot by Garden Fresh.
Yes.
Salsa. Did you ever have that?
Of course.
Oh, that is really good.
It is, yes. Oh, that's so funny that you know that.
Yeah, that's sometimes it's hard to find around here, but boy, I could just, you know, chug that down too. I just knock it down.
Yeah. I go through about, and I get the big bottle, mind you. I go through about a bottle of sriracha and Tabasco like every other week. It's like, oh, eggs. Tabasco and my chicken sriracha, and so I'm always dumping it on everything. So I every now and then will get new kinds just to try and mix it up, but those are my home ones.
Well, if we ever hang out, we'll definitely have to have some hot sauce.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Cool. Now we have Tim Hortons here.
You know, you didn't have
from
to
what
rub
I understand it. Though there's no Tim Hortons down in your area.
Yeah, you just had to bring that up.
Oh, we're talking about food. You might as well throw it in.
Okay,
you are
okay. Tim Hortons. Yeah, I am a Tim
big
Hortons.
Tim Hortons fan, right?
Yeah, Tim Hortons is basically like my husband at this point with the amount I had in Canada. It was the first place I stopped in Calgary because I had heard so much about this Tim Hortons place, and so that was the first place I went, and I was hooked. 6 days a week, I would have their coffee at least once, if not two or three times. And so I was addicted to their coffee. They've got great wraps. The Canadian maple donut is the reason I'm alive. And so that place, I miss it so much. I can't wait to get back up there and get my Timmy's fix. But for now, I have my K-cups, and those are getting me through.
And red velvet Oreos.
Oh, anything red velvet. I'm the lover of all things red velvet. I've never had anything bad that's red velvet flavored.
Now, you were talking, you watch a lot of the WWE Network. Do you also watch the current products? Do you watch Raw, SmackDown, TNA, Ring of Honor, etc.?
Yeah. I actually, every Monday I live tweet Raw. And because I never miss it, I never miss Raw for anything. I think the first time I missed it was a couple weeks ago, and it's because it's the only time in that whole day I could get to the gym, and I can't skip the gym. So, but yeah, I watch Raw live every week. I record SmackDown, so usually on the weekends when I get home late from a show, I'll watch that before I head to bed. I really, really enjoy Ring of Honor. I haven't watched TNA in quite some time, but you know, I've been into Japanese stuff lately, so I try to keep up with that. And I watch Lucha Underground, which I enjoy. It's a completely different style of show. It's more of a, you know, it's not, it's totally different than Monday Night Raw. It's almost like a movie. You know, they produce it so differently, and so that's always really cool to watch. But I love watching all wrestling. That's my happiness. And so any wrestling I can watch, I'm all about that.
Of course, Ring of Honor is doing the Women of Wrestling or Women of Honor. So
Yeah, they are.
And, of course, there's Shimmer, what in the Midwest, that runs shows, all women. And, of course, you talked about Shine. So, you know, with WWE really now emphasizing more of the women's wrestling, there's a lot of different, you know, territories, federations for you out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, lots of amazing talent out there to work with and lots of really great companies to work with. And so I can only hope that I get to, you know, continue to work with those great girls and venture out and experience a lot of different companies, you know, as long as I can.
Are you into UFC at all, mixed martial arts?
You know, I don't watch or keep up with it too frequently unless it has to do with Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
Because I love her, and I've loved her since the start. Like, when everybody thought she was so cocky, that's why I love her. That's what made me fall in love with her. And so I try to keep up on her stuff. I follow her on all her social medias and all that. But, no, it's not like I buy the pay-per-views or anything.
Obvious question. What are your goals from here?
Ooh, well, I think the biggest is that whenever my career is done, hopefully a long, long time from now, that when I'm done, I've left wrestling a little bit better than when I got into it. And that's something that Lance mentioned to our class one of the first days we were there, is that you should always want to leave it better than when you got here. And so for me, that's very important to me. And I also want to eventually be a mentor for younger girls getting into the business and show them that, you know, be a great role model for them and show them that you can do this. It's possible. It's this crazy unconventional dream that is the greatest thing you'll ever experience. And so anybody that I can motivate to pursue any dream really, is a goal of mine at all times. Milestones, my biggest goal is one day to work for the biggest company in the world, and that's WWE. And so I'd be lying if I said that's not a goal of mine. And then another big goal for me, I would love to one day work in Target Center, which is the arena in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I really got to fall in love with watching wrestling, because that's where all the shows are in Minny. And so to perform there would be very, very special to me. And then, you know, like you said, I've got certain people I want to work with. And in the near future, I hope to work with Tessa again. Deonna Purrazzo, I'm working her later this summer. I want to work a match with Chelsea since I haven't got to do that. So I've got a list a mile long, but those are just a couple.
You can make that bucket list like Cody Rhodes the other day. You know, he got a little check mark by all these names.
So. Oh, see, mine would be, it would be too long. I'd have to post like 37 pictures just to get every name in there.
Some more opportunities open up maybe in Japan as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Chelsea was there. Giselle, who I had my first match with, my first feud with, she's over there right now. Yeah, you know, Stardom is an all-women's company over there, Reina. And so,
right. Yeah,
lots of really great wrestling all over the world, really. And so it's such a great time to be a wrestler, and just what a crazy life. I'm so grateful.
Talk about you. I noticed you have a tattoo on your back.
Yeah, actually, I have 6 tattoos. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah, my first one, though, is the one that is on my shoulder blade, my right shoulder blade. And I think that's my most special one. It's it is a hawk. And in the wings on the bottom, it says, "What a rush." And so it's in memory of my Uncle Hawk, who I was very close with and who meant the world to me. And so that's in memory of him. And then my next ones I got were on the top of my feet. And so on my left one on the top, I have "Love You, Dad" in his handwriting. And on top of my right, I have "Love You, Mom" in her handwriting. And then I have 2 more that I got on my Achilles tendons. One says "Commitment," one says "Unconventional." It's what I live my life by. And then my most recent is on my left wrist forearm area. And it says "She flies with her own wings" in Latin. So 6 sounds like a lot, but other than my Uncle Hawk one, they're pretty small. So and in wrestling boots, it's like you'd never even know I have any of them. So.
I was going to say, do you plan on getting more in the future?
I have a couple planned. I never get them unless, you know, they're on you forever. So until I'm 101% positive I want it and where I want it, I have a few ideas, but we'll see. We'll see. Growing up, I wanted Lita's tattoo because I was like, she has half sleeve. She's so BA. That's amazing. And now I'm like, I am not BA enough to have a half sleeve. I could not pull that off. So no half sleeve Lita tribute, but I do have a couple smaller ones planned.
I was going to say, what do your folks think of the tattoos?
My Uncle Hawk one, they knew I'd wanted forever. So when I turned 18, it wasn't a surprise that I got it. I think they can appreciate that they all have meaning and they all have, you know, a special story behind them. And I hope their favorites are their handwriting on my body because I put them on my feet for a very specific reason, because I would not be where I am without my parents. And I'm so very grateful that, you know, growing up, they were incredible role models and heroes for me. And so I now say, as I'm an adult, they're still with me every step I take forward, but I wouldn't be where I am without them. So I hope those are their favorites. But yeah, they all have meaning. They're all special to me. And so I don't think they mind.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years from today?
5 years from today? That's a tough question, Steve. Jeez. Well, I see myself being 28 years old, having my golden birthday. So that's all that's guaranteed. I hope I have a bulldog named Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
And then obviously I hope I am one of the most successful women wrestlers in the world. And so that would be hopefully where I am in 5 years. Hopefully I can say I've got to work with some of those people that I've dreamed of, worked in a couple different countries and as many states as possible. And most importantly, I hope 5 years from now I can say that I've learned so much from so many different people in this business. And because I respect the history of it and I want to learn as much as possible and just, you know, make it better. So hopefully that's where I'll be in 5 years. We'll see. We can do another one of these then.
Absolutely. And then, you know, it's got to be different for, you know, women wrestlers, obviously, superstars now, as they call them, because you know, at some point, I would imagine, you know, a family would be important to you, you know, maybe eventually having your own children. I mean, it's different for a man because obviously they can impregnate a woman and still be on the road. But at some point, you know, family in your plans somewhere down the line?
I never want kids ever.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
throw that question out.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I don't ever want kids. I always say I want 2 bulldogs, one named Frankie, one named Meatloaf. And so they will be my kids. I always joke, though, that I'll be the coolest aunt that anybody has, right? So whether my sister or my brother has kids or, you know, even my best friends, I want to be Auntie Rachel, who's the coolest aunt in the world. And so, yeah, for me, I don't want kids. I mean, I guess I'm not sitting here contemplating marriage or anything at this point with my non-existent boyfriend. So I'm married to wrestling is what I always say. So we'll see. As of right now, that stuff never even passes through my head.
Did either of your siblings ever consider going into wrestling?
No. My sister was a dancer and she's a teacher now. I got the athletic genes in the family. My younger brother did wrestle in high school for a couple years. He also raced motocross and he's talented in a lot of different areas. And so he just graduated from college and is just trying to find what he wants to do and whatever he picks, he'll be great at. But for right now, I'm the wrestler in the family, it looks like.
And one more, any regrets so far in life?
Oh, none. None at all. Well, I wouldn't be who I am, you know, or where I am if even the bad stuff, you know, didn't happen. And so even bad stuff, I'm thankful for looking back at it because I became me, you know, and you learn a lot about yourself as a person when you have to go through things. And I have definitely done that with some stuff and you know, some decisions, it's like, oh, gosh, okay, I'm moving to Canada. And then you realize this is the best decision you'll ever make in your whole entire life. And so no regrets whatsoever. I am Rachel because of the stuff that I've gone through.
I know you're obviously on social media. Go ahead and plug your social media and any shows you have coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Twitter 24/7, basically live tweet my life. You can find me at Rachel Ellering. RachelElLering. And then you can find me on Instagram at the Rachel Ellering. See, shows next Sunday, I am in Fort Pierce. And then the 17th, I am on Shine's next iPay-per-view. So check that out. Lots of big stuff coming up this summer that I'll be announcing on my social medias. And anybody who's on there, keep your eyes open. I got some new merch coming out. So it's an exciting time.
Well, very cool. Well, we definitely do appreciate your time today, and I'll definitely book that 5 years from now. I expect to talk to you, you know, as a WWE superstar.
Yeah. I would love that, but I'll make sure to keep my calendar open.
And you can talk about your two bulldogs.
Yes, I can post a picture of my bulldogs, Frankie and Meatloaf.
Well, thanks so much. We appreciate talking to you today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gurick Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gurick Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.